Stewardship, a Mission of Faith presents Gospel Reflection. Gospel Reflection is a one-hour weekly gathering with prayer and the breaking open of the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those participating, lives are changed, renewed, and transformed. Please join with us now for this week's Gospel Reflection.
Thank you for the opportunity. And Father God, it is an opportunity to come here together and look at a group of men gathered here, Lord God, all with their hearts searching out for you, Father God. We praise you and thank you for this forum, this opportunity, for this time of coming and sharing, this time of coming and opening up to you, to your word, Lord God. Oh, what a joy. Lord God, you the mighty creator. You're the one who put it all in place, Lord God, and then sent your precious son into the middle of it, Lord God, to provide salvation for us. Oh, Lord, we rejoice. And this is the season to rejoice. Lord God, because we know you are God of all gods, Lord of all lords. Father, what a joy it is to be here. Lord, I pray that during this time together, as we offer up our prayers and offer up our our issues in our heart, Lord God, you will hear us. Lord, we know you. We have your promise. Where we are gathered together in your name, there you'll be also. So thank you for being here, Lord God. Thank you for bringing us this opportunity. Lord, praise you for the work that's ongoing in the stewardship of Mission to Faith. Praise you, Lord God, for that. Thank you for all the efforts that are being spent there. Lord, you are blessing. We praise you and thank you for that. Be with us this day in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And with that, if you take the plastic sheet, we always like to open up with our petition and our prayer of unity. Do you mind doing our petition? And do you mind doing the Lord's Prayer for unity?
Please, Lord, allow each of us gathered here in this room to be an instrument in the answer to your prayer of unity, so that each of us, united as one, may be a light that leads to you.
Lord, I pray not only for them, he said, but also for those who believe in me through their word, so that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, and I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you love me.
Awesome. Amen. Thank you. And it's so important that each of us here, there is one Lord, one King, and we are all members of that one body of Christ, that united we become that light. And that's so important. And so if we open the little prayer books, you take a little prayer book, you open to the inside cover, we always like to invite the Holy Spirit into the meeting, into our hearts, and then it's a free flow of how the Spirit inspires us based on the scripture verse that has broken open the bread of life. And with that, do you mind doing the Come Holy Spirit? And we'll all respond with the italics.
Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful.
And kindle in them the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of thy faithful, grant that by thy same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And then together we're going to do the Litany of Humility. We'll have one person read the left-hand side and we'll all respond with the right hand. And it convicts me on each one of these as the Lord continues to root out these little roots in our hearts. And with that,
Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being loved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being acclaimed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being honored,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being praised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being preferred,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being consulted,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being approved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being valued,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being humbled,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being despised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being dismissed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
from the fear of being rejected.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being defamed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being forgotten.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being ridiculed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being wrong.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being suspected.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From resenting that my opinion is not followed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
That others will be loved more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be esteemed more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will increase in the opinion of the world while I diminish.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be chosen while I am set aside.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be praised while I am overlooked.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be preferred to me in everything.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, though you were God, you humbled yourself to the extreme of dying on the cross to set an enduring example to the shame of my arrogance and vanity. Help me to learn your example and put it into practice so that, humbling myself in accordance with my lowliness here on earth, you can lift me up to rejoice forever in heaven.
Amen. And do you mind starting? We're going to do the prayer that Pope Clement put to pen. And we'll just go paragraph by paragraph and come around the room clockwise.
Okay. Lord, I believe in you. Help me to believe more firmly. I trust in you. Help me to trust more surely. I love you. Help me to love you more ardently. I am sorry for my sins. Help me to deepen my sorrow.
I worship you because I came from you. I long for you because you made me for yourself. I praise you as my ever-present helper. I call on you as my powerful protector.
Guide me by your wisdom. Correct me with your justice. Comfort me by your mercy. Defend me with your power.
Lord, I offer you my thoughts to be centered on you, my words to speak of you, my actions to do your will, my sufferings for your sake.
I want whatever you want, because you want it, the way you want it, as long as you want it.
Lord, enlighten my mind, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and sanctify my spirit.
Enable me to regret past offenses, resist future temptations, overcome wayward tendencies, and cultivate needed virtues.
Lord, in your goodness, grant me the grace to love you and forget myself, to seek my neighbor's good and despise the seduction of the world.
Teach me to obey those in authority, serve those under my care, look after my friends, forgive my enemies.
Lord, help me to overcome pleasure by austerity, greed by generosity, anger by self-mastery, apathy by fervor.
Make me prudent in planning, unwavering in danger, patient in adversity, unassuming in success.
Keep me, Lord, attentive in prayer, moderate in food and drink, energetic in my work, firm in my resolutions.
Enable me to keep my conscience clear, my bearing modest, my dealings exemplary, my life well-ordered.
Lord, let me be alert, retain my natural instincts. Foster the life of grace. Keep your law and win salvation.
Teach me how trivial worldly interests are, how momentous the kingdom, how brief temporal concerns are, how lasting life eternal.
Lord, help me prepare for death, fear judgment, escape hell, and reach paradise.
Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome, gentlemen. And now we're going to have the gospel read, and then just feel free to share what the Spirit inspires in your heart, how this affects you literally today in your life. Do you mind reading the gospel today?
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us, is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I love how the Lord, what's the name of that cup that kicks it up a notch?
Emerald, is that it?
I love how he kicks it up a notch. When Joseph, he probably thought he was really good. He was going to divorce her quietly. And then it says, such was his intention. I just think of my life, and all the things that I think are so good in my plan, but such was his intention. So I'm going to do this really good thing and divorce her quietly. And then God came along with his plan, which was obviously much better.
I wish I could say every morning when I awoke, I did as the angel. I just was moved by that line. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Would that that would always be so.
When I read this gospel portion at home, I walked over to our creche. We have a creche at our home. And took a look at it again. We brought it from Germany in 1967. And Joseph was missing. We must have lost Joseph. And I began to think as I stood in front of that creche, our kids never even told me that we didn't have Joseph there. We don't know where to put him, I guess, if we even had him there. Where do you put Joseph? This marvelous guy. Can you empathize with Joseph and his experience with in this story? And it is indeed a Christmas story. It's a the story is something in words, but there's all the parts to a story here. This is a magnificent story. It's not only wonderful for what it says, it seems to me it's wonderful what it doesn't say. Joseph never had the privilege and the opportunity of reading Matthew chapter 1. But can you see how this fellow must have felt when his engaged wife was pregnant? And I wondered, why didn't the Holy Spirit tell him at the same time he told Mary? That seems rather odd to me. I ask that question when I get to heaven with Joseph. How come? How would I feel, I ask myself, if I tried to get engaged three times to my wife, she finally said yes. And when she said yes, you know, I wondered, how would I feel if she said to me, I'm pregnant by somebody? What must have gone through Joseph's mind? He's only human. He's only human. And I'm just struck by that. Joseph is a marvelous guy. Thank God for Joseph.
You know, when you look at this, this is indeed a character study on Joseph. In the fact that he was very, very much willing to abide by the law, the teaching of his faith at that point, because he had every grounds to get a writ of divorcement from that from this situation, and he was going to do that, but he was going to do it quietly, honorably. It says he was a righteous and a just man, but we never hear Joseph all through the scripture. There's never a Joseph said. There's never a word that he utters. We just have to know Joseph by his character. And it's manifested in the fact that he was a righteous man, a tender man, and he was, as you said, an obedient man. He got up in the morning and said, I'm going to follow God. What a great character.
If Joseph had gone to the priest, as he was required to do, and tell them that his engaged wife was pregnant, she would have been stoned to death. Mm-hmm. Do you think of that? Mm-hmm.
You know, when I read it, I looked at it and said, it was this Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. It sounded to me like a suggestion. But Joseph took it as a command. Mm-hmm. And I was looking back and I was thinking, there are many things in Scripture that I think I have taken as suggestions, when really they were commands. When you think of the New Testament, and it tells us over and over how we're to live. But you know, there's some things they can tell you, and you have reasons for saying, yeah, but you know, you don't really get the situation. And rather than thinking in terms of like just forgiveness, for instance, forgiveness is a command; it's not a suggestion. Mm-hmm. We are to forgive others. Period. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter whether they even care. It doesn't matter if they ask forgiveness. None of that matters. It's just we're to forgive those as we want the Lord to forgive ourselves. It's just one point, but there are many things. And I was thinking about how many times I've read those things and looked at them as suggestions rather than as commands, like Joseph did. And this was an important thing in his life. This was like it had to be mind-boggling for him.
I think the thing that stands out to me is the whole fact that Joseph's reputation was really at stake here. You know, what's just about Mary, that if he went through and obeyed what the angel told him to do, that forever would be a stigma that he impregnated his wife before they actually consummated the marriage. And so his obedience to the angel had a huge impact on his, potentially had a huge impact on his reputation, and yet he walked in obedience. And, just kind of, as I think has been shared, the whole idea of obeying the Lord, it's maybe easy when the consequences aren't so great, but sometimes we have to obey the Lord at the stake of our reputation. And, this is a situation certainly that Joseph found himself in. And how many times are we willing to walk in obedience to the Lord when it may have a negative impact on how people view us?
You know, that's really a powerful statement, because we as believers around this table view Joseph through faith. Therefore, we believe he's a holy man. But those who lived in his time didn't view him through faith, and they believed he was an unholy man. So our connection with the Lord allows us to see each other through the eyes of faith and see what God's doing. And you have to believe in the invisible supernatural God to do that. And I remember 30 years ago going into a Jewish synagogue and just participating in their service. And one of the main leaders came up to us at the end of that service. So this is like 1979. And this guy comes up and goes, "You guys don't believe Mary got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We know what happened." And this is 1979. And I'm just sitting there going, wow. And so just what you said just hit me, is that we need to call a generation to have the eyes of faith. That God does do things supernaturally behind the scenes to bring forth his eternal purpose. And one last thing is that we know what the word Emmanuel means, God with us. But looking at the Hebrew, it means equally with us. The literal interpretation is equally with. God became equal in his essence with us. He wasn't just with us and superior. It literally means equally with. So I never saw that before. It's one thing for a superior to be among you, and it's another thing for him to be an equal with you. It goes back to your illustration about when you greet people, you meet them at their level. When you're interacting with people, you become humble. He humbled himself and he became equal with us.
Think about that. God chose to be enfleshed and experience everything that we experience. I wrote that down. I can't even fathom it. God chose to become one of us, to experience what we experience, to relate with what we related with. And he did it for us. And I wrote down three things. I wrote down, and this is what I try and thank the Lord for every day, that the Father chose to send his Son knowing that he was going to suffer. He freely chose to do that for me and for each of us. The Son freely chose to come to this earth, to be enfleshed, and entrusted himself to Mary and to Joseph through all those years. And they had to protect him. And the Holy Spirit chose to overshadow Mary. And as we consider it, become the spouse of Mary at that moment. And so all three, the Trinity was involved. And to think that they did that for me, for you, for each of us, knowing full well what was going to happen to Jesus Christ. They all bore that pain. All of them. You know, I reflect on that one, the scripture verse, where a sword will pierce Mary's heart. I can't fathom the heart of Mary, what she experienced, as she started to learn more and more that her son, this was going to happen to her son. I can't fathom it. I can't fathom the pain that she bore.
I think about it oftentimes that we don't like pain and we don't like suffering. And if there's a situation where someone's coming up to us and they're going to ridicule us, or you know, they're going to say something negative to us, we try and flee from those types of situations. But the Lord was basically putting Mary and Joseph in a position where that was going to be their life. And a college professor telling me at one point that he was talking about during that time there was a lot of Roman guards in the area where they were, and that prostitution was a large thing. And that many people had said that, you know, the going joke probably would have been that Mary was just a prostitute. And even later on in Scripture, they say, you know, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And that's a reference back to those kind of things. But you got to wonder, too, about the character and how much growth and how much reliance upon the Holy Spirit Mary and Joseph must have had. Because they were constantly involved in that battle. And they were constantly relying on Jesus Christ and constantly relying on the Lord. Yet I think oftentimes in my life, I kind of flee from those situations and I don't put myself in a position to grow. Because I don't want to have somebody making fun or, you know, saying something negative to me. And it's a reminder that that's not a bad thing.
If I could clarifications on this. The gentleman over here was talking about Joseph and said beautiful things about Joseph. This says Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph, the righteous man means he followed the law, but he chose not to follow the law. He went above the law. He followed what God invited him to do, to love Mary. And this talks about the wonderfulness of Joseph. It was only later, when the angel appeared to him, that he didn't take Mary on. He didn't want to take Mary on, but he refused to follow the law with her. That Jesus supported. He loved. But that's God in his presence. So this also talks about Joseph and about God. Another gentleman talked about commandments, but this isn't a commandment, it's an invitation. God does not command us. He loves us. That's an invitation for us to love.
To respond.
That's who God is. He is love, John tells us. So, knowing that he's love and growing an understanding of love, we begin to recognize that he can't command us. He invites us. This is why sin exists. God could get rid of sin if he wanted to. But he's love, and he invites us to love. We have to be free to say no to God in order to love God. That's the first commandment, is love God. Which means, don't do it because you got to do it. You're invited to do it out of love. The second commandment is love your neighbor, which is, God your neighbor. Right? This is what we're invited to do. We can't be directed to do it. We can't be forced to do it. Right? Otherwise, we'd be robots. And we have the divine within us. Right? That's what he did for us. When he created us in his image and likeness.
And you know, that comes back to exactly the two words that God keeps teaching me. Respond and react. We respond to God's love and we joyously do what he's asked us to do or invited us to do. when we react, what we believe are a bunch of things we got to check the box to and have to do, that's not about love. That's about a reaction, where God is inviting, always, always inviting each of us to respond. He's singing to us every day, through our children, through the events in our life, through the people He brings into our life. He is singing to us every day and inviting us to respond. That was beautiful. Beautiful. What else do we see? There's so much depth in this.
Six key words. With child through the Holy Spirit. It represents the greatest miracle of all time. This is when Jesus came into the world. And with His coming into the world, continuous wonderful things would take place. But if you look at that, what the Holy Spirit is capable of doing in Mary and Joseph's life, what's that same Spirit once we accept that Spirit into our hearts, when we become Christians, what's that same Spirit capable of doing in our lives? And you look at this ministry that's begun here, stewardship and mission of faith, what you mentioned this morning, through the heart of each of us that have a part in this, look what the Holy Spirit's already done.
Right.
So if we recognize what the Holy Spirit can do here, we should also be able to recognize that if we open up our hearts, yes, what the Holy Spirit can do for each one of us.
Yes, absolutely beautifully said. Awesome.
But what I can't get out of my mind, I feel guilty with this in my mind, but just on the backs of that comment, the miracle of all miracles that happened, look where we are 2,000 years later, and look how we've minimized and thrown away the secular world in terms of celebration of Christmas. In many places you can't say Merry Christmas. In businesses, say Happy Holidays. The travesty of all travesties is how do we celebrate Christ's birth today? It's all about gifts. If one other person says, "Are you ready for Christmas?" What I've started to say now is, "What do you mean? Am I ready for Christmas?" I don't want to be adversarial, but I said, "What do you mean? Am I ready for Christmas?"
But, you know, just because the world around us minimizes it doesn't mean we can't maximize it.
Yeah.
It's all, I mean, it's like the old argument, they took prayer out of the schools. No, they didn't. As long as there's Christians there, we can pray all over the place. There's just a formal prayer they took out at the very beginning. And I really think it's up to us. I mean, what strikes me about this is we forget that this wasn't the first time that a woman claimed to be a virgin child. When you study history, the Jews knew the prophecy. They prayed for the Messiah three times a day. And countless examples down through where women would say, "Oh, you know, this is supernatural." And it just didn't come to fruition. And I can just see the whole doubt that when Mary claimed, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, here we go. Another one."
Yep.
Trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
I mean, this was part of a tradition. I just find it absolutely amazing because Joseph and Mary had a little of that stigma.
Right.
For their entire life. And that's why Pharisees were so upset, because Jesus was an illegitimate child. And that's part of the reason there was so much hatred towards him from the religious leaders. But, it's really up to us to maximize Christmas. And I like the question he asked when people say that. Nobody can take Christmas away unless we willingly stop celebrating it the way it should be.
You said a minute ago you can't take Christmas, there's no prayer in school. I wrote down here that there's no prayer in our homes either. So why do we get upset if there's no prayer in school? We don't pray with our wives, we don't pray with our kids, and then we get upset out here. But I wrote down, I can't explain God. Miracles and all that. I spend stressful life trying to explain God to people.
Amen.
And I'm not sure that I live it. I just want to explain it. Mm. And so I'm learning right now at this Christmas season, which he just said too, is I want to be ready. Not just with gifts, but I want to be ready to just live it, and not try to explain it. I had a guy yesterday ask me, he says, "What about some of these churches that don't help people and don't do this and don't?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't have... when I get to heaven, I don't think I'm going to be answering for those guys. I think I'm going to be answering for if I was faithful. And I just can't get over that right now in the next few days. I don't need to explain the supernatural. I just need to be obedient. Yeah. And I'm not meaning we can't discuss it. I don't mean that. But I'm just saying sometimes our discussion is helping us to believe that. That's why I need this morning, to be around guys that are saying, hey, I want to be the spiritual leader in my home. I want to be ready for Christmas the right way. Maybe I could at least teach where I can't help the other families and the other guys that don't, but I can help it here in my own home. It changed my world.
And you know, that's a call of action to each of us, especially to me, because I need to pray and ask God to infuse the Holy Spirit into me, to not be afraid, to look at Joseph's model. You know, I wrote down the words, his respect of Mary and the gift that was within her, his trust in the Lord, his obedience to the Lord. He believed what the Lord was telling him. He humbled himself. He was a man of honor. He was a man of courage. He's my model. There's a statue of him sits on my desk because I want to model after him as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to look at his virtues. What did he do in his life? And I look at this today, and I say, you know, we look at those Pharisees that brought up about you know, her being out of wedlock and all. And then I say, okay, now point that finger right at you, myself. Have you ever done that? When you've heard of a little girl, a young lady, a young girl getting pregnant out of wedlock, have you respected her? Have you honored her? Have you kept it quiet? Have you prayed for her? Or have you spread poison about her by saying, did you hear? Jeannie got pregnant. She's not married. And so I look at this, and this to each of us, I'm telling you, as Scripture keeps opening up to me, it's a challenge point back to me. What do we do with it? What do we do with that information? You know, I think it's in the Proverbs, Pat, many times gossip's talked about. We can use truth and destroy people, tear them to pieces. What do we do with what we're told? And that's what I use the example of a lightning rod. Whatever we're told, we need to be grounded in Christ so that we're told that. We grounded in Christ and its end is diffused. Otherwise, we just continue to poison and to wound and to hurt. So I just reflected on that piece of Joseph's
stance. I think when Joseph made his decision in the morning when he awoke and he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, many times when we say that I've been praying about it and the Lord giving me a leading and you make a decision to follow the Lord, it doesn't have the long-term impact that this decision had, because he was definitely going to be ridiculed for the next 8 or 9 months when her pregnancy began to show. And then it was always going to be this issue that, hey, his family was a family that was conceived out of wedlock, and it was so that stigma. So when he makes that decision to follow the Lord, he is obediently saying, I know that the rest of my life is going to have a major burden to bear. And it wasn't an easy path he was stepping onto. It was a difficult path. He's quite a hero.
And what a model for our young people.
Yeah.
When we were with the eighth graders yesterday. Mary's only a few years older than those eighth graders that we were talking to. And we're a bunch of adult men sitting around here trying to figure out how would we handle it. Imagine a teenage girl having to handle that. I mean, what human virtue did she have to have? What kind of prayer life did she have to have to be so strong and grounded to be able to walk that walk? And I think we need to hold her up as a model for our young people, a model of purity and chastity. And they, you know, their eyes were just like, wow, she's only a couple years older than. You know, you hear it, but maybe forget it. But man, a young girl that had to take that on.
I get convicted by what you said, because today, if there was Facebook, poor Joseph and Mary would have not made it. It was bad enough then with their kind of communication, but today we don't have to prove anything; we just have to say it. And then we're guilty of repeating it. And you just got to me about that. Yes, probably knew she was that kind of girl anyway, and that family life they live in, and we do this. without even thinking. And I'm not sure that I'm on the positive mode with that, even in our own circles. Somebody in our own family or something. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen to that kid. You know, you'd never get a turn. You know, we do this instead of speaking truth and love into their lives. I mean, I'm just can't get over what you said.
And you know what the Lord has really helped me? Because I always ask the Lord for a tool for my toolbox. And what he's helped me with now, anytime, is to attune my ears to it. And anytime I hear it come, I immediately put my hand up and I say, stop. Let's pray for that person.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Amen. Lord just took me to a depth that's even deeper. Because each child that comes into this world is potentially the instrument that God is going to use to bring Christ into this world to somebody else.
Amen.
Satan wants to stop Christian families from having large families. He wants to limit it. Just have a few. What? Is that true? Or does God say that every child is a blessing? A full quiver. Who said to stop? We need to look at every child as a gift.
Amen.
And every child as an instrument that the Lord can use to bring the truth of His Son to someone in need. And we abort them. And we prevent them. Who are we? And so that the Lord took me there because every single child, so when we see and we meet somebody who is pregnant, we need to pray for them. We need to love them. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then we need to trust God and the Holy Spirit. Because you were saying they wouldn't have made it, but they would have made it. Because with God and the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. I apologize. It just hit me. I apologize.
No, amen, David. I agree with you fully. Yeah. God said, multiply and replenish the earth. And
yes!
For the children to be the future blessings. My dad used to say that the future church paces forward on the feet of little children.
Yes! I can't tell you my greatest wealth in this world are my children.
Amen.
And they're the future. Do we share with them? Do we share the stories?
Amen.
I'm guilty. But the Lord's taking me to a place. He keeps challenging me. He challenged me in a group yesterday. And a girl gave me a book. She said, David, I know you have fear. At a gospel reflection group. A fear. But the Lord put this in my heart in the bookstore. This is for you and your children this Christmas. And I'm like, all right, Lord. And I wrote this down. That God uses all means and many people deliver His message to us. It can be an angel. In the Bible it says it can be a donkey or whatever. You know, and the Lord keeps hitting me over the head so many ways, different ways. His pet name for me is Knucklehead. I know why now. But He wants to break us free from the fear that contains us so that He can use us for greater and greater things.
Amen.
And I believe that a gift of our children are so critically important to infuse in them the beauty of what the Lord has done in our lives and what He can do in theirs, and share with them who they are. They are Christ to others. They are that vessel of love. They are children of God. I mean, I'm convicting myself as I'm speaking because I need to continue to do this.
I'm thinking about Joseph again and just thinking of how noble he was. And he must have been chagrined when he found out she was pregnant. Isn't it wonderful that he didn't say have an abortion?
Think about it.
He could have done that. I mean, he could have said, you know, let's get rid of this child. And he didn't do that. What a marvelous story. It's such a mystery into it, too. The mystery is just marvelous. I tend to be rational in whatever. But I just let this story flow through me. And I just marvel at Joseph. I can't help but do it. So noble. He certainly must have been steeped in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. You know the interesting thing about how things get stolen, like Christmas gets stolen from us, Easter gets stolen from us. It just seems like God allows His people to always have adversaries. I'm just sharing this thought that He makes us lay hold of Him, as our brother said. It's in love. But love has to express itself, and we have to fight through our adversaries in love. I'm not saying that we fight through celebrating, maximizing Christmas through fleshly things, but we need to be bold about the joy in our heart that God became Emmanuel and he rose from the dead. All those celebrations, who cares if they were Roman holidays and they got hijacked by Constantine? I don't care. I'm still going to celebrate Jesus. You know, I know we can historically go back to all the weird stuff, but we need to fight through our present adversaries in faith and in love and live it boldly. So anyhow.
Well, I think he checks our heart. I just want to get even with that person. I can't believe they're doing this to me. And instead of my attitude of wanting to celebrate Jesus, and I've not had many people not tell me, I say Merry Christmas every place I go. And I haven't been arrested yet. And I'm not going to quit saying it. And I said it to a guy that just quickly said it back to me. He started to catch himself. Like, oh, I said it. You know, because, you know, just if you do it in fun, society, Merry Christmas, how you doing? Merry Christmas. And, you know, I didn't say, hey, I want you to say Merry Christmas back. But just in the positive of living it out, put a manger scene right in front of his store, but I thought about it.
What do you say though if someone responds, that offends me?
Huh?
What do you say when you say Merry Christmas to someone, that person responds, that offends me?
I never had it because I don't listen to it. So I smile at them, love them, keep, how you doing, Merry Christmas again, and walk out. I don't let them, they are not my joy. They do not take away my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, not their negativity. So I just have fun with them. I'll make a joke of, I'll just have some fun so they don't know what to do. They want me out of there. But in love, I mean, just have fun with
them. Pregnant Mary, who was single, offended them too, so.
I have to just, I know what he's saying.
Love them at the same time.
I'm not trying to not answer your question, but that's the way I do it with them too. I just don't answer. I just don't deal with it. I don't give them the time.
Well,
but I'm not perfect at this.
Actually, you know what I've done? And I've had that happen once or twice. I've said, I apologize for offending you.
Right.
They don't know what to say after that.
Right. Yeah, correct.
See, that attitude of love, eventually it just breaks it down.
Right. Because otherwise, if you react, then that's what Satan wants. He wants you. That guy just wants you to react. But when you respond with love, he don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Well, you know, I've always thought that Mary's fiat, her yes, was wonderful. And I want to thank our two brothers for reminding us about the culture back in that time. Because if you read scriptures, we have to realize what was going on at that time in Israel. And, you know, with prostitution, the fact that Mary, if the authorities had found out about it, would have been taken out and stoned. And here she is, 12, 13 years old, and Angel Gabriel comes to her and says, you're going to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you wonder, did she think, well, you know, if I say yes to this, you'll think I'm either a prostitute or I've been having sex out of wedlock, I could be stoned, I could be killed. Even if those thoughts went through her head, she still said yes. And then, you know, Joseph, you know, obeys the words from the angel. And it makes me think, how do we say our yes? And I was telling these gentlemen today, this morning, that I work for PennDOT, I work for the state. We're having our Employee Appreciation Day party today, which was started out as a Christmas party, but we were told we couldn't call it a Christmas party because we could offend people, so it became a holiday party. We can't call it a holiday party because we could offend people. So now it is an Employee Appreciation Day. And so listen to everybody here today and read this gospel. I'm going to make a point today at that Employee Appreciation Day party to tell everybody Merry Christmas. And if I offend somebody,
you might be able to support him.
Unemployed. Look for you alongside the road and show up.
Yeah. Mary said, may it be.
Yeah. Where'd we do it?
That's very good.
Good. I don't think we want to take our theology from O'Reilly, but his comment was, anytime somebody confronts you with that, tell them that it is national law that Christmas has been declared a holiday. So it is a federal law.
Oh,
and
good.
It mentions Christmas, it doesn't call it Employee Appreciation Day.
We don't want to disobey the law.
Okay.
Give to Caesar what is Caesar.
That's good.
I just want to know, the word holiday is the word holy day.
Yeah, exactly.
I missed it. All right.
It's always a holy day.
Yeah.
Let's say happy holy day.
Happy holy day.
Happy holy day. You may want to go back to Christmas.
Anything else anybody has? We're just about out of time. Any more nuggets of internal head wisdom?
He has a whole book back here.
Just to reiterate something you said, I think it's missed, is every child has Jesus in them. Every child has Christ in them. And I just think that's so important. That can't get lost in this message as well.
I just like the thought, the hope of new life. I mean, new life in Mary's womb, new life in our hearts, new life in the way we see each other, new life in, someone said, the invitation to love, and what life there is in that invitation. Praise God.
Amen.
And what is here is just so beautiful. This gathering of brothers in the body of Christ, it is so beautiful. I can't tell you and thank you enough. This.
Amen.
Was a heavenly kiss this morning.
Yes.
Amen.
For each and every one of you being here. That's a confirmation that we're doing what we're called to do.
Amen. Praise God.
And I thank you with all of my heart. Amen. As does some of my team members that are here. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Anything else before we're going to go to prayer?
I just want to say one comment about this. This is... It's such a pivotal moment in human history when Jesus enters the world, because it begins the reversal of all the spiritual entropy that had taken place. We went from the fall of Adam continually. I mean, God intervened through Abraham and the nation of Israel. But right now, the Son of God is coming into the world, and he is going to reverse the curse, and he is going to bring that new life our brother was talking about. It's just an amazing miracle that God... My wife gave the illustration on Sunday while she was teaching our church, and she said, you know, we take those stink bugs and we just throw them in the fire. I mean, I have a fire, so I have this wood stove going, and if there's a stink bug in the house, you open the door and it's in. Don't even think about it. And to some degree, we were all those stink bugs, and he didn't throw us in the fire, and he rescued us, and he had to come into the world to do it. So anyhow, amazing.
I
can say that in this story of the birth of Jesus Christ, what surprised me is the few people who knows that Jesus was coming to be born on the world, on the earth. They said Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna. But the surprise is why the religion leader did not know, or did not have a message of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because you see, when the wise man came to Herod the king and asked him where Jesus was born, and he called the leaders, asked them if they know that Jesus was born. They did not know that Jesus was born. And that's when I see that, it shows me that for God coming to the world, that now we are waiting for Jesus to come again. But now when I see that these two people, they are called the righteous people. Joseph was a righteous man, and Mary the same. And in that way, God revealed to them the secret of his coming to the world. There were people who were coming for the census. They did not know that these two people only, they know that Jesus is going to be born. They got a real message to them. And also when I see that, when the time Joseph was troubled for divorce Mary, and the angel came to him and told him how Jesus was going to born, to be born among them, and they also remind him the scripture. Because here says that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Joseph was learning. And for our coming here together, I thank the Lord because we are learning this. Hey, this reminds us for the coming of Jesus to the world for the second time. That when it comes, it will be something new to us, but it will be something now we know that Jesus will.
And you know, when you were sharing that, what hit me in the heart, for each and every one of us, we have the choice, as Jesus wants to live in our hearts. We need to step down from the thrones that we still sit on, the thrones of our lives, and make Him Lord of our life.
Amen.
Every day, at every moment. Every day, at every moment. He is our Lord at all times. And we need to surrender all those things we want to hold on to and think we're in control. With that, prayer intentions.
At this point in our gospel reflection meetings, we invite those present to share requests for prayer that God has laid on their hearts, and then we pray for those requests. We encourage you at this time to pause this recording and pray for those people and circumstances that the Lord is bringing to your mind right now. Once you have finished praying, please restart the recording and join us in our closing prayers. Please pause this recording now.
And at that, we always like to end with the Lord's Prayer. As we call out to Abba, our Father, and so we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And for those who chose to join in, we ask Mother Mary to pray for us as we continue to fight this fight and help us to bring her son to the world in the most beautiful way at this Christmas season. And so we ask for Mary's prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And now the glory be.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Awesome, gentlemen. This was phenomenal. Thank you so very, very much.
We hope that your life has been enriched by listening to the recording of this edition of Gospel Reflection. If this recording has helped you on your faith journey, please prayerfully consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For information on locations, times, group startups, phone participation, CDs, DVDs, and downloading, please visit our website at www.stewardshipmission.org and click on Gospel Reflection Groups. While visiting our site, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making your tax-deductible donation. Thank you, and may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.